Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Export uncertainty tightening the screws on cash flow and local bases, with fresh China-U.S. tensions and court action amplifying bid volatility for soybeans and products. Now, Beijing stepped up rare earth export curbs, are adding another lever in the trade standoff. And at the same time, Washington announcing an additional 100% tariff on Chinese imports starting November 1st. It's a headline that tends to widen day-to-day bid swings in row crop country. Supreme Court has also fast-tracked the review of presidential tariff authorities, keeping policy risk elevated throughout the harvest period. Now, India is a partial bright spot. New Delhi signaling bigger U.S. energy and LNG purchases, alongside talks aiming to double bilateral trade to $500 billion by 2030, even after August tariff hikes of up to 50% on Indian goods. Now, those purchases could open incremental lanes for U.S. oil seeds, feed ingredients, and ethanol co-products as negotiators work toward a first-phase deal. And closer to home, Argentina's policy flips have whipsawed offer sheets, short-lived suspension of export taxes, and rapid reinstatement after sales surge to China briefly improved the Argentine competitiveness into shared destinations, and it pressured bases in the Gulf, barges, and crush margins. Well, global shipping is eyeing lower carbon fuels, and the International Maritime Organization's proposed net zero framework could open a vast new outlet for U.S. ethanol, biodiesel, and renewed diesel. Jeff Cooper, Renewable Fuels Association, notes that ocean-going vessels burn roughly 70 to 80 billion gallons a year. He says that capturing just 5% with American biofuels would mean 4 to 5 billion gallons of fresh demand, potentially leading to 1.5 billion bushels more corn use, an economic jolt for rural plants and farms. Department of Energy suggesting corn ethanol can cut marine greenhouse gases by approximately 61%. Soy biodiesel would cut it 66%, soy renewable diesel by 60% versus bunker fuel that allows ships to earn compliance credits if the rule is implemented as proposed in 2027. Beef cutout is the wholesale value of a standard box of beef. It's quoted by hundredweight, helps signal how much packers can pay for cattle, and informs retail prices. Now, this fall, the choice cutout peaked in mid-September at around $413.60. That's $413.60 per hundredweight, has eased with normal seasonality, finishing last week near $365.25. Now, USDA's Ag Marketing Service does continue to publish daily and weekly reports, even while some other federal reports are delayed. So the figures do reflect current market conditions. But even after the recent pullback, cutout is still strong compared with history. That's according to Charlie Martinez with the University of Tennessee's Institute of Ag. Last week's level, about $56.82 a hundredweight. That's up 18.4% year over year. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The simple summary for this past week was we had another bull market tone in the cattle market.
Kansas State livestock economist Glenn Tonser.
Fed cattle markets and cattle leaving feed yards. Five market averages called at 231 in the week. That would have been up. Dodge City feeder cattle was called $5 to $15, depending on exactly what lot or weight class I might quote. Two example lots, just for reference, is 57 head weighing 539 pounds, sold for $431. That would be up at probably at 10 bucks from the week before. 79 head weighing 841, came in at 371. Again, stronger tone. And this was matched or with the board. So CME futures contracts were up as well. So there's consistency, if you like, between the board and cash this past week. October live cattle closed the week on Friday at 238. That was up a little more than 7 bucks on the week. October feeder cattle closed at 376, up a full 17 bucks on the week. This is of note. I'm going to, you know, break down some meat things here in a minute. But my overriding summary would be lots of talks and engagement with producers, you know, this time of year over the last 6-8 weeks. I've been trying to clarify that the majority of the price increase we saw in 2024 and real early in 2025 was primarily a demand story. And there's a positive demand story that has continued now that I'm talking to you here in October, but it's being sort of magnified by supply. So we're finally hit the point to where fewer hoof count and future fewer hoof counts and so forth, and sort of some pessimism that we can continue to put more weight on to offset that. So the net effect of less beef, I think, is really hitting these markets. And that's adding additional steam to what's a neutral to positive beef demand environment. So I want to impress it on you is like, why does this keep happening? It's great if you're a seller, right? But we keep talking about higher cattle prices. And I think it's sort of both supply and demand are supportive at the moment. Consistent with that, we saw additional strength in the wholesale market this past week. So choice box beef closed Friday at 366, as up about 4 bucks on the week. Compared to that with select, was only up about a dollar on the week, but nonetheless it was up. So closed Friday at 345. Both of those are off from their highs. So if you go back 6 to 8 weeks ago would be the peak in those. We've had a little bit of a pullback. Some of that is seasonal because, you know, we're working our way out of the peak grilling season as a country. My brother's in town from Austin. They're still grilling this time of year down there, but a lot of the country, right, getting a little cool for that. So you have some seasonal cooling on the grilling demand, but those are still quite strong prices. So I'm trying to put a bow in this is we're at some quite high levels on cattle and historically still high level on boxed beef, even though we're, you know, 6 to 10% off. And I'm giving a shout out, A, because I really like the event and I'm well aware it's 3 weeks ago, but the Stocker Field of the Day that Dale Blasi over in Animal Science and Industry and his much broader team pull off the end of every September. It's one of my highlighted events because it's a very focused, like it's for one segment. We meet out at the facility. It was a gorgeous day. You know, it's kind of a plug after the fact and for the future of that event. But I'm also doing it because I gave a joint talk to kind of kick that program off with Lance Zimmerman, who's a neighbor and friend of mine, who's with Rabobank. And this past week, a recording of Lance and I's remarks got posted. So K-State's ASI website, as well as if you Google on YouTube, you'll find our, you know, our remarks, the Q&A session and so forth. And, you know, stuff we touch on here and, you know, folks you have on every week, so forth, periodically it's useful to highlight, you know, that extended, it's an over an hour recording. We, you know, Lance and I shared thoughts for a long time, but if you want more depth, right, beyond just these 10 minute summaries and a PowerPoint file and so forth, I encourage folks to go there. We highlight a lot of ag manager decision tools. So like heifer retention and buying, you know, there's ways to think about that just from a financial perspective. We kind of talk through that and point to people to Excel based decision tools at Ag Manager. So I'm doing a little bit of a commercial on that event. The recording for education and all the tools of Ag Manager, I'll kind of one bundle here while I have a chance here, because I think there's a lot of questions that are coming up. You know, how good can the days go on? Cattle prices are really good. You know, we talk about that. We shared some of our thoughts about kind of the gray clouds on the horizon, right? So if you want to hear more about that, please go and listen to that recording.
It's Agriculture Today.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This is Agriculture Today.
Yeah, stuck in the mud. I like that. Now, there's a couple things you could do when you're stuck in the mud. You could keep spinning the wheels, which likely means you're going to go even deeper. And in that case, I would use the wheat markets as a analogy because they can continue to make new swing lows.
Bob Maurer, Manduka Trading in Chicago.
Or you can stop those wheels turning and figure out a way to get out. And I guess we could look at soybeans and corn in that particular instance, because corn and soybeans are trading within their broader ranges of late, whereas wheat continues to trade at or into new swing lows. Now, if we kind of zoom out a bit, I think the catalyst for some of the recent weakness was the announcement from President Trump that he saw no reason to meet with Xi Jinping and his decision to impose an additional 100% tariff on Chinese goods starting November 1st isn't necessarily a good thing for grain futures, including corn. President Trump did soften his rhetoric over the weekend, but, you know, bottom line is it's hard to debate that there's an extreme amount of headline risk there, and some of that headline is not good for our grain and oilseed sales, especially if there was going to be any business done to China down the road. So it took a lot of the hope off the table, and I think markets adjusted rather quickly to that. Now we'll see what the reality is over time. In terms of the day-to-day, week-to-week for corn, harvest is progressing rapidly. Right now I've got estimates suggesting harvest is about 45 to 50% done. National corn yields remain near record territory, although there is some volatility and some yield disappointment in certain areas. The estimates right now are between about 183 to 186 BPA. In terms of the weather, South America, we're keying in on them. Brazil's wet season is underway, but it's a bit irregular. They went from dry 2 weeks over the last couple weeks to scattered rain, so the planting progress is definitely ahead of normal, but it could slow things down once those rains start to hit, so we'll see how that plays out. In terms of the soybean market, the harvest progress is about estimated to be 65 to 70% complete. So we'll keep hearing about that as we move along. And once we get to the 80 to 90%, you know, I would imagine that's about when people would start thinking about harvest lows. And we'll see how that plays out in terms of the price and the charts, see how things line up there. Yield trends are mixed. Private networks are reporting yields running about 1 1/3 bushels per acre below last year's final tally. Many farmers across my neck of the woods, say Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, they're reporting yields below expectations. That's primarily due to late season disease pressure and the weather variability. It got a little dry, right? So a little disappointing in terms of the yields here. But looking down south, Brazil soybean planting, it's ahead of normal for soybeans at about 12.5% complete versus 5.3% last year. So they got it in the ground. And again, same story as corn. It's been dry, so they can get in the ground. Now it's going to get wet. We'll see how things might slow up there. But so far, no worries in terms of getting into the ground. And I would say that for soybeans, the key takeaway is the trade policy, like I mentioned, the harvest pressure. South American planting moving pretty darn good. La Nina risk is out there for 2026, although the odds makers, I shall we say, in terms of the weather, don't have a clear picture as to how much of an impact that's ultimately going to be.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I am Brian Gilbert, Senior VP and Ag Banking Manager at the First National Bank in Sioux Falls, representing Independent Community Bankers of America.
Gilbert testified earlier this year before a House Ag Subcommittee on financing farm operations.
I own and operate a family farm that raises cow-calf pairs, finishes approximately 750 head of cattle each year, and I also raise corn and soybeans. Our nation's more than 4,000 community banks make nearly 80% of all ag loans made by commercial banks, or $151 million. Community banks have deep roots in their communities. More than 1,000 banks are more than 100 years old and have survived the Great Depression, the Great Recession, and are still standing by their customers through good times and bad. Community banks are relationship lenders that fund local loans with local deposits.
The overall U.S. farm economy is in very bad shape, and the long-term viability of the sector is in danger. Brian Glenn, Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says costs have skyrocketed while commodity prices have dropped sharply.
Cost pressures from labor, regulatory compliance, fertilizer, and energy have eroded margins for farmers, while their crop receipts have also fallen steeply since 2022. Since 2022, U.S. ag has also experienced a trade deficit, and persistent non-tariff trade barriers have added to the volatility.
Both beginning and veteran farmers are having to make tough choices to survive. Farm Bureau sent a letter to Congress and the White House asking for immediate assistance.
In the short term, we urge leaders to authorize bridge payments for farmers before the end of 2025. These payments must be robust enough to address sector-wide gaps as the federal government continues to work to recalibrate trade strategies, stabilize prices, and strengthen key market relationships.
Glenn said it's vital that Congress and the administration move quickly to help U.S. farmers and ranchers.
It is extremely important that the administration and Congress move quickly to authorize bridge payments for farmers before the end of 2025, really to keep farmers afloat, and that we need swift and decisive action taken on policy solutions to increase market access and opportunities for farmers.
Faith Parham, an economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation, said the difficult ag economy is impacting row crop farmers particularly harshly.
So our row crop farmers, but really all of our farmers and producers, are being squeezed by falling prices and really high input costs. We've seen an increase in a record high production cost this year, and that's affecting row crop farmers, our specialty crop farmers, livestock producers, all across the board.
Farmers and ranchers are having to devote more and more of their budgets to the cost of production.
Fertilizer rising again. It's still not to those highs of 2022, but it's going up. Chemicals, fuel, and energy. Interest is really becoming a larger and larger expense in farm budgets as farmers continue to take out operating loans to make it to the next marketing year due to all of the decreases in commodity prices. Labor is always increasing, as well as some machinery and repairs.
Parham says the tough economy is impacting a variety of crops, but each one has a different profitability scenario.
Cotton's our largest loss at over $300 an acre, and so that's going to be pretty high and really hurt their operations. Peanuts are at $173 loss, corn at $169 loss, soybeans at $114 loss, and rice at $154 loss. Sorghum and wheat also operating at a loss well over $100. So all of our row crop producers are really struggling, and this isn't the first year that they've operated at a loss.
You can learn more at fb.org/market intel. Chad Smith, Washington.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Well, there may be some actual correlation where you can look over time and see if gold or silver went up, did cattle go up, or vice versa, and you can kind of see how much of the time over the life of a contract that may have happened. But I don't think that's the correlation, in my opinion, in this instance.
Gold, silver, live cattle, feeder cattle, hitting all-time highs on Monday. Is there a correlation? Bob Baumer, Manduka Trading, Chicago.
I think what you're seeing is a correlation in terms of trading psychology. And what I mean about that is there is an old school trading adage where it said that I'd rather be out of a market wishing I were in than in a market wishing I were out. So what that means to me and how that can be taken is that when you see a strong trending market, such as silver has been, such as gold has been, such as feeder cattle and live cattle, there are many who are non-believers, and certainly they wish they were in, okay, but they weren't in. So they're looking for some kind of dip. So once in whatever their trading methodology, trading psychology, things have sized up to where overwhelmingly the market, in my opinion, has kind of changed their mind on things and they're more willing to get in because of the established bullish trend. I think that's where we're at. So the dips are getting shallow with gold and silver, and then it finds support. And then also with live cattle and feeder cattle, the dips have gotten shallower and the support comes in a little bit quicker. So I think it's some of that that's going on. So in terms of correlation, I would say that maybe less so directly, meaning if X goes up, Y goes up, but more so just because there's plenty of people on the sidelines who have been wanting to get in and they're finally finding the opportunity based on some correction that happens throughout the market, you know, over the weeks or the days. So that's where I'm at with that in terms of any possible correlation. But really, these things wouldn't be moving higher if also there wasn't some kind of robustness in terms of the structure of the market. So with cattle, for example, cash cattle last week in the south gained about $2 to $3, in the north about $3 to $5. So cash market is stable. The five-day weighted average ended about 233.25. That was up from about just shy of 231 the previous week. So just in based on the raw price and or the average there, things are looking stronger. In terms of the wholesale side of the equation, USDA box beef cutout closed at around 365 half-ish. That was up around 3.25 from the previous week. So that on that side of the equation is reflecting basically some steady wholesale demand, despite what normally would be seasonal softening around this time of year. So kind of a contra-seasonal move at the moment. We'll see how things carry out into the fall. Typically the middle meats, that is, carry more of the cutout in the fall. And then you gotta look at some of the substitutions that could happen, especially as we head into the holidays with hams and turkey prices. So as long as they could stay strong, I think that that'll also add to some of the underlying bullish structure for beef, and as much as those alternative aren't really any kind of big value, if the prices for those can stay, like I mentioned, robust.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
Plains Cotton Growers is considered the certified producer organization for cotton producers in the Texas High Plains.
Kara Bishop with Plains Cotton Growers.
We cover 42 counties in the state of Texas out of the 254 that exist. We cover 42 of them, all the way up to Dalhart and Spearman on the Oklahoma border and all the way down as far south as Midland. And so we cover what's considered the largest contiguous cotton patch in the world. Lot of acres here, and if it is a good crop year, we account for 55 to 60% of the state's production and about 35 to 45% of the nation's production, as we've just kind of hit on a little bit, and even 3 to 5% of the world's production. So a lot of cotton is grown here, and the impact of the nation's cotton production is heavily affected by our area.
She also underscores the importance of working and building relationships with buyers.
We just finished the Cotton USA orientation tour that is put on by Cotton Council International. Cotton Council International is the export promotion arm for the National Cotton Council. Great group of folks there that are promoting U.S. cotton to a lot of textile mill industry and textile mill executives. And we really appreciate their connections with the manufacturing side of the supply chain. And they came down to, they bring all these delegates. These delegates can be from Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, Egypt, Pakistan, Japan, Indonesia. There were so many countries, Vietnam represented as well, India, if I didn't say that, Honduras, China, Ecuador, Bangladesh. And so we were really excited to see all those textile mill representatives come to Lubbock, Texas to see about, to learn about cotton production, cotton sustainability, and cotton logistics through a lot of our merchant partners. And so that was a really good trip to show them how good our product here is in the U.S. because at the end of the day, U.S. cotton is really important to us because we're in the U.S., so it makes us more successful. So we were excited to make these connections. This group, which was around about 30 people, they represented 2.6 million bales of cotton consumption, and 810,000 of those bales are U.S. cotton annually. So it was exciting to see who had larger U.S. market share of U.S. cotton and who had maybe smaller market share. We could really build on those relationships and try to strengthen our ties with some of those mills overseas. And so just wanted to piggyback that off of World Cotton Day, because that promotion of our product is so important. It's one of the pillars of what we do as an organization, as I've already said, and it's something that I am pretty passionate about, promoting cotton in consumer minds, but also in textile mill and manufacturing minds. I think it's super important for both of those brands, retailers, mills, as well as consumers in the U.S. to understand the importance of cotton fiber in their closets. And so really excited about that trip, very successful. I got some feedback from Cotton Council International that they were really appreciative of all the information that was provided to them from Lubbock, Texas.
Kara Bishop with Plains Cotton Growers. It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.